Okay, so we're on the bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Beis. Daf Pei is a big deal, I think. The fact we're getting a Daf Pei, it's like, I won't say how many Daf it is, but it's still a lot. It's still 42, whatever. But I'm just saying, let's just continue to move ourselves along. The letter Pei is giving me a chizik already. What? 80s Gvura, yeah, 80. And that's, I don't know what percentage of Masechtas get to Daf Pei, but none. A lot of them don't. So, okay. We are at that bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. I believe like kind of closing up a conversation we were having before. But if you remember, for the purposes of remembering where we were, at the very least, that we were talking about the difference between a Sris Chama and a Sris Adam, right? A Sris Chama is a person who is, and we're going to talk more about it, a person who's presumably born sterile, as opposed to a Sris Adam, who became sterile later. And it was Machlokas in the Mishnah, but which of those individuals, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar, and the question of which one of those individuals is not. We don't do chalitza for them, don't do chalitza for their wives, etc. Do we care that the person once had the ability to have children, now doesn't anymore? Or no, do we care about the fact the person was born that way? So let's keep going. But that'll be important as we move along. So the Gemara says like this, Amar Rava, Mamzer Ikre Khan. Not Mamzer. Ikre Khan Lahakim Laachiv Shem. Vahalav Barhachihu. Right, the rule when it comes to a Saris, right, the reason why a Saris is excluded from the concept of Yibum Mechalitza is because the whole purpose of Yibum Mechalitza or Yibum Elis, right, is to Lahakim Shem Laachiv, right, to have a child in sort of in place of or continue the name of the brother, and this person is incapable of doing that. So why is Gemara bringing this up? They bring it up because what's the goal according to Rabbi Akiva, who's still allowing, who was at this point arguing that an individual who is a Saris Adam, right? He is, Rabbi Akiva said Saris Adam cholitz v'chotzel ne'ishto. So how could that be? How are you going to be mekel on such an individual? Lamaisa, they can't do it. So Lamaisa, they can't do it. How is this going to? How can you even consider including them as the possibility they can do chalitza? You do chalitza. They do chalitza. They do chalitza for their wife, etc. So Amarava im kain ein locha isha shekshir liyavam shalonas abayla saris chamasha achas kolim misasa. So Rava says, well, if that's going to be your approach, right, then you're always going to have, you'll basically never have a situation where any woman can ever have Yibum Mechalitza done. Why? Because every person, probably not every person, but, many, many people, as they get close to death, so their body becomes so dysfunctional that they probably can't have a child anymore. They have a status of sort of like a pseudo Swiss Chama. In which case, and if the fact that a person at some point in their life is not able to have a child, that means, they're considered a saris, and therefore you can't do yibum for them, or they can't yibum for others, it's their wife, etc. So you're going to exclude, everybody in that scenario. Or according to this approach, you'll exclude everybody. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, L'Rabbi Elazar, Piruka de Rava, Piruchi, right? This argument of Rava, is this going to be a problem for Rabbi Eliezer? Because again, Rabbi Eliezer was the one who held, right? Sris Chama Cholitz V'Chotz L'Ishto, right? Because there's a possibility of a refuah for him, right? So that's Rabbi Eliezer's approach. So Rabbi Eliezer's approach is that person who's never ever able to have a child, so but since there's a possibility they can have a refuah, so that individual can still have Cholitza and Cholitz L'Ishto, etc. But this argument now, according to this argument of Rava, does that now exclude everything Rabbi Eliezer said? Maybe that knocks Rabbi Eliezer out. So the answer is no. Haslam kechishusa de aschilave. No, that's not really true. I mean, this argument that every person who gets sick or every person just before they die is like a saris, that's not really a saris. That's not really correct. Right? Look at Rashi. Kichishusa who does chidbe. V'lav sarisu. Elamisa macheshes kocha. Right? The person's getting sick, old and sick, so they get very, very weak. But you wouldn't give them the status, and that's probably what you would have originally thought as the answer to this whole question in the first place. You wouldn't consider that person a saris because their body is too weak to have a child at that point. That's their whole body is weak. That's not, it's not a din in being a saris per se. So fine. So that's not a kasha. Good. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Heichi dami saris chama. What is the example? What do we mean when we say saris chama? What are we talking about? So I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I'm Rav Yochanan. Kol shalo rosha achas b'kashrusa. Saris chama is a person who never had one, presumably not an hour, but one moment when they were not a saris. Right, Rashi says Heichi dami saris chama on the bottom of the page. The ka'amr shalo haisalo shas hakosher. They didn't have any. Time they're okay. The means shalra shachas bekashusa Rashi shalaka mimei ima. Right, so it means that they were born that way. Basically, they were born sterile. So minaya dina. How do I know? Rabbi kolamata. Meaning, how would you know that the person was born that way? Rabbi says kolamata mayim ve'ena osakipa. Now a person urinates, so they don't make they can't make an arch with when they urinate. The Rashi says akipa she'en kiluach hashten holech al mirachok. It doesn't make a keeper, it just means an arch. You can't do that. Body's not capable of that. Even when when the person urinates, so that you see that they're not going to be able to have a child. Okay. So I mean, my haven, and where does that come from? Like, what happened that this child will become this way? What happened, like, in utero? So I'll tell you what happened. His mother was baking bread at high noon. Okay, look at Rashi says. She was baking bread. It's super hot outside, and she's in front of the very hot oven at the same time, and she drinks shichra marka, shichra mazug, some type of marka beer. So she does that while she's pregnant. So then the child is going to be born sterile. Okay. So I'm Rav Yosef. Hanu d'shman le'imi the amar kol shememei ima lakoi v'leyadana minhima. Rav Yosef says, okay, thank you. Like, I didn't know. He says, I know people said there's these people who are born this way, mimei imo, and I didn't know what that was referring to, or why that would happen. Thank you for giving us explanation for why that is. It's interesting, just by the way. So the oven at the high noon part, I think probably we would say, we don't know medically if that's really something, but the fact that the mother's drinking alcohol while she's pregnant, that's something that even today is something that we talk about. Fine. So anyways, v'leicho shema hivri ben tayim. Wait a second. You're telling me that this, he's been this way his whole life. How do you know? I don't know. How many times has a person checked it? They go to the doctor? Like, how many times? I know the person's really has been this way their whole life. Maybe at some point they became not sterile, and then they went back. Right? You're assuming you're calling this person a saris chama that they never ever became were never ever not sterile. I don't know. How do you know? So says Gemara, no, came the tchilasa v'sofa lucky lakoi lo chashina. Sorry, lakoi lo chashina. So the fact that at the beginning and the end. He was that way, so then we're not worried. I mean, it's sort of like a chazaka. At the beginning, we knew that, and at the end of life, we know it. So then we're not nervous that somehow things change in the middle. Okay, well, I says, really, is that true? Mesa Rav Mary Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer Bodkin Oso Shalosh Pamim Besoch Shmonim Yom. So the Gemara says, wait a second, we have a case. It's a totally different type of case. It's talking about the Gemara. This is talking about a bechor, right? An animal that's born. And it is a bechor, so it has to be redeemed, and it has a certain kedusha, and otherwise it can't be used at all. You have to, and basically, what they would do is, if a bechor is born and you didn't redeem the animal, or what they do today, actually they sell the animal to a non-Jew. And it's the same thing as mechiras chametz. You do a mechiras, the mechira of the mother. If you know the bechor is going to be born, so that the bechor is born, it's born to a non-Jew. But the bottom line is, if a bechor is born, it has a kedusha and it can't be used until it's matzah b'mum. Until we had this question before, we talked about an animal having to roam until it gets a mum. So same thing until it gets a mum. So what? So look at Rashi. Bod kinoso, bibachoros kai, chavarur, right? Chavarur means if it has like a white spots in its eye. That's one of the mum. In an animal, could be it has white spots in its eyes. Right, that's considered, and if it's kavua, he has this white spots in his eyes, and it's been there for a long time, it doesn't go away, that's considered a mum. Ve'ezu chavarar hakavua koshesha shmonim yom. So how do I know it's considered kavua, and that's there for 80 days? It's there 80 days in a row. I don't know where they got the number 80 from. Once you have 80 days in a row, so now you have considered a mum kavua, that it's kind of like permanent. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tikkun Omer, bod kinoso shalosh pamim. So how do you know? You check on day 1 and check on day 80, right? So he says, no, you have to check them 3 times. Right, pesoch peyom, berosh pey, uba emze pey, uba sof pey. Day 1, day 40, day 80. Right, avav bedika techila vasof lo sagi. But just checking the beginning and the end is not enough. Shema bein time avak, because maybe in the middle it got better and then it got worse again. Right, v'nim shishein kavua v'lo arbina the whole techila vasofo lakoi vade lo avar. Right, so we don't say that. So what's going on? If the case of the bechor, we say you gotta check the beginning, middle, and end of that time period. Why don't we say same thing by a human being? What's the difference? So answer the Gemara. No. Lachad Aver Chashinon. Lakula gufa lo chashinon. So when it comes to one Aver, one part of the body, so then we're nervous, maybe it'll get, I mean, we're nervous in a good way in the sense that it's possible to get better. Right? I mean, if it's just one small part of the body, so maybe at that point that maybe the eye will heal, right? That's something that we're concerned for. But something that is affecting the whole body, Rashi says, "Saris chama machmas choli kol agufu." This is something that affects the whole body. So that's something we're not. If it was that way already, and he's that way at the end, we're not concerned that somehow the whole thing changed and we didn't know. It'd be very unusual. So that's something we're not choshish for. That's why, as long as it was that way at the beginning and is that way at the end, we assume that all along he was a saris. Fine. Again, you can ask the doctors different questions, different call a goof versus one aver, etc. But that's the way the Gemara phrases it. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer Omer lo ki. So what was Rabbi Eliezer's shita? Rabbi Eliezer had said in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Kiva had said that, because we had this idea of saris, sometimes a saris can be cholitz and cholitz nisho, sometimes not. So Rabbi Kiva said, I'll explain to you, right? Saris Adam, that cholitz v'cholitz nisho, right? But saris chama not, and Rabbi Eliezer had the opposite. He said, "Loki ela saris chama chalitz v'chalitz nisho." Right, there's the person who is saris from birth, chalitza works for, and you do chalitza for him. And he can do chalitza for his wife because he has the possibility of refuah. Fine, but it was a saris adam. Once the person had been typical and then became a saris, that person, it's over for them, and that's why lo chalitz v'chalitz nisho. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Okay, so says Gemara as follows: Uraminu, not so fast. Ben Esrim Shana Velohevi Shte Saris. So let's say an individual is 20 years old and he has not yet grown 2 hairs, right? 2 hairs in his pubic region. The point being, typically we assume a girl is 12 years old, a boy is 13 years old. We don't check anybody. That's a chazaka. That age, the purpose of that age, we mentioned this before also, is an assumption at that point that they are a gadol, right? That they've grown 2 hairs. That's what typically by 12 or 13 for a girl and for a boy, we assume such things. So what if a person hits 20 years old? And they never happened. Right? They haven't reached puberty, right? So what happens? So he hits 20. Velohevish de saros. Yaviu raya shu ben esrim. So we bring out his birth certificate, something to prove that he's actually 20. Vehu asaris, right? And then what becomes clear if they're now 20 years old and they've never hit that point. So there's two possibilities, right? Well, until 20, there's two possibilities. One is they're a regular, typical person, but they're just delayed. They're delayed in their maturity. So, and that's why they don't have Shtei Saros. But once they hit 20 and they still don't have Shtei Saros, the reason isn't because they're a typical person and didn't reach maturity, didn't reach puberty. The answer is because it must be their Saros, right? He's a Saros, and that's the reason why he hasn't brought Shtei Saros, okay? So once he hits 20 and he doesn't have, so now we know he's a Saros, okay? And now, lo choletz, velo miyabim, he can't do chalitza, he doesn't do yibum, fine. Bas Eshrim Velo Heviya Shtei Saros. Same thing for a girl. She's 20 years old and also doesn't have Shtei Saros. Yavi Rayashi Bas Eshrim. You bring her proof that she's actually 20. Vihi Ayalonis. And she's, again, the equivalent for a woman. She's there. Lo Choletzes Velo Mes Yavim. You don't do Chalitza for her. You do not do Yivim for her. Divrei Beis Hillel. That's Beis Hillel's approach. Beshame Omrim Zeb Bnei Shimona Esrei. So Bishamas is the same rule, but it's not at 20, it's at 18. Okay? And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hazacha Kadir Beis Hillel, Unakeva Kadir Beis Shammai. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, Beis Hillel is correct when it comes to women, that's 18, and men are like Beis Hillel, that's 20, and by in the Keva, Kadir Beis Shammai, and by women, Bishamas Kot, that's 18, Bibne Shaisha Mimaharis Lavol Ifneish, because we know women develop faster than men do. Fine. So if that's true though, what does that mean? These individuals are Esris Chama. Right? These individuals are saying at this point, once they hit a certain age and they don't have Shteis Aros, we have declared them as sterile from birth, presumably. And what's the halacha? They said that they don't do chalitza, they don't do yibum. That's a Esris Chama. That's someone who's sterile from birth and doesn't do yibum chalitza. That's not Shteis Rabbi Eliezer, that's Shteis Rabbi Akiva. Right? So what's going on here? So what happened? So Amar Rami Bar Dikuli, Amar Shmuel, Chazer Bo Rabbi Eliezer. He says, no problem. I'll tell you, the easiest way to solve any contradiction within the internal contradiction in a person is to say, he changed his mind. Changed his mind. Okay. So great, he changed his mind. Ibailahu, mehe hadabe. Which one changed? Which one came first? Right, when did he change his mind? Right, we don't know. We just know they're both Mishnayos. So that doesn't, we don't know. They're not time stamped. Right, so which one came first? Which one came second? So the Gemara is going to try to bring a third, a Kasav Ashlishi. Tashma desayne Rabbi Eliezer Omer Saris Chama Choletz v'Chotzen Ishto Shekein b'Minon Misrapin b'Achsandria Shal Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that a Saris Chama, again, a person born as a Saris, does Chalitza Chotzen Ishto. How do I know? Because we know that in Alexandria, Egypt, they have these doctors who are bringing refuah to these individuals. So, and that's why. And that's the same sheet they had in the Mishnah, which is that a Saris Chama can indeed do Chalitza because there is a refuah. So the question is, okay, so it sounds like we're saying this is his final approach, right? His final approach is this answer. So how do I know that? So Rashi points out, because the fact that he says, he brings a proof, because in Alexandria in Egypt, they do something, you see there's like a, you know, like almost like, I've seen later on that they really do this. So it sounds like this is like more conclusive. Others say not necessarily, right? The fact that he quotes Alexander of Egypt doesn't necessarily, you know, so what? Doesn't necessarily tell me that. But that's, you know, presumably the approach is that because he brings this, like, you know, and we've seen that it works, etc. So you see that's like his later answer. Okay. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, not Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lolam Lohadrabe, right? Bechitan Hahila Onshen. No, he didn't change his mind. What really he held, always held, Shris Chama can do Chalitza and Yibam, etc. So what's this idea of the 20 years old, 18 years old, the Asaris? That's in terms of getting punishments, right? The Bar Onshin, a person that they hit 20 years old, so they're Bar Onshin. So a person who's a katan, if it turns out they're really a katan, they're not chayev for punishments, right? So if this person hits a certain age, we say, no, they're not a katan anymore. They're really a gadol, they're just a Asaris, right? It doesn't mean in terms of their status of Shris Chama, whatever. In terms of being able to punish them for averos and they did wrong, so that's what he's trying to tell me is that this age is the age at which I know, right, is it 18 for girls, 20 for boys, that at that age we now no longer say, oh, this person's really just still a katan in terms of mitzvos. At that point, once they hit that certain age, now we determine them that they are an adult. We'll pick up from here.